Blog Talk Radio.
You're the light, you're the night, you're the color of my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain, you're the only thing I want to touch.
Welcome to Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Join us as we bring weekly cultural topics right here to our studio. You, as our studio audience, are welcome to chime in and call the studio or join us on chat. Because, you know, at Cultural Conversations, we believe that cultural issues really do shape and impact our world. So, join us as we discuss the hottest topics and the cultural issues of our day. Stay tuned. Well, welcome to Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Tonight, our session is dedicated to Women's History Month. The month of March is dedicated to Women's History Month. It celebrates the achievements and accomplishments and historical moments and future moments of women, the work that women have done all over the world. I started to get the buzz on social media about International Women's Day, and it blended in just to Women's History Month. And so very proud to celebrate Women's History Month in our two sessions that we'll have this week, and then next week we'll also celebrate Women's History Month. With that said, I have two wonderful guests. One of them I know very well with us tonight, and one of them I've only tapped into her wisdom, I'm going to say, for about 2 hours and on a visit to Louisiana. And she was just stellar. She's somebody that if you go into her presence, you know that there's a lot there and there's a lot to be said and there's a lot that she could say. And I want to tap into some of that wisdom, and she's very gracious person. And when you think about grace and being very, very eloquent, I think about Judy Whitney Davis. So she's going to be with us tonight. And also, Felicia Williams-Gary is going to join us tonight. And we're just going to have a candid conversation about women, but particularly about Black women, because we are Black women, African-American women, and how do we support each other? What are some of our trials and our triumphs? So we're going to talk about that, and I hope you join us and celebrate all that is about Women's History Month, all of our accomplishments. Not saying that the men aren't great as well. Greatness is found within yourself. But for the month of March, we're celebrating Women's History Month. If you would like to call in on the show of Cultural Conversations, please do. You're welcome to call in at 347-857-3121. Again, that number, call-in number is 347-857-3121. Just to give you a little introduction about the two very outstanding, dynamic women I have on the show tonight, we're going to celebrate Women's History Month with Cultural Conversations, and join us as we tap into the mother wit wisdom of entrepreneur and Southern performance artist Judy Whitney Davis. We will also have on the show Felicia Williams-Gary, conversationalist and natural hair enthusiast. Felicia will give her perspectives on the natural hair trend, the social aspects and opinions of the day on natural Black beauty. And so, again, if you would like to join in on this show, you're welcome to call in. Call-in number is 347-857-3121, and I also have the chat window open, so if you want to ask questions with regards to our special guest tonight, please do chime in. After this song, we'll be right back with our special guest of the evening. So excited to have both of them here. I miss them tremendously. And so after this, we're going to get right to our special guest and start to learn about how we can support each other and what's fun and what's wonderful about being a woman in today's month of Women's History Month. Thank you. One of my fave bands from Ireland. And so that's the script doing their thing and just saying give love around. So I think that's a positive message for tonight. Again, we are celebrating Women's History Month, talking about all women, but then we're going to focus on Black African American women, some of our struggles, some of our accomplishments, some of the things that we could celebrate. And so I'm excited to have tonight joining me Miss Judy Whitney Davis. She's an entrepreneur and Southern performance artist. And then also Felicia Williams Gary, who can converse about just about anything, smart as a whip, and she will give her perspective on her natural hair journey. And so I think a lot of African-American women, we are on this natural hair journey, doing something with our hair. And so she's going to give her perspective, hopefully, on her journey in natural hair. If you'd like to call the show and get in, please do, 347-857-3121. That's the studio call-in number. If you don't want to call in, just sit back and relax and let us take the conversation to where it needs to be. So, Judy and Felicia, you are on with Cultural Conversations. Welcome.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Well, good. I'm going to start off with Judy because there's so much I don't know about you, and you look like a little gold nugget in when I met you that one time, but you can tell your wheels were spinning and you had a lot in your head that you could have shared. Could you give our audience, a listening audience, some background about who you are and the type of work that you do?
Well, I am African-American, of course, and I was born in Jackson, Mississippi, and raised in Detroit, Michigan, living back in the South again. I'm the daughter, granddaughter, sister, and niece of Black Baptist ministers, and actually not only a historical interpreter, but also I work as a performance artist and voice artist, and also own a small natural soap and body products company called the Inner Goddess Soap Company, where our motto is, life is too short to stink, bathe responsibly.
I love that. Yes.
Come on, now. We've all walked past that guy and went, really?
Yeah, life is too short to stink and to be smelling other people's stink. And so, you know, if we don't buy it for ourselves, we can gift it to some other people, right?
Exactly. Like I said, we've all had that moment where we walked past that one person and had that look on our faces like, baby, you need Jesus.
Not it. Yeah, not today. Well, not tomorrow. You need him today, this hour.
You need him right now.
Right now. Okay, and Miss Felicia Gary, could you please give some background about who you are?
Well, good evening, everyone. I am Felicia Williams Gary, and yes, I am Louisiana born, raised, and proud. I, too, am in the South, just relocated to another southern state. So, yes, that's it's very interesting. The South is always very interesting. I have a very diverse family background, and as Verona said, I just love conversing about everything. My work background is also very diverse, and I have a diverse circle of family and friends. So for me, life is good all the time.
I know, life is good. And you know, when we talk about conversing, you know, when we get together, it's not often. We don't talk on the phone every day. We used to talk on the phone every day. But whenever we do, we're on there for hours, and we can find things to talk about. The conversation just don't end. And even if I'm pissed at Felicia, I still talk to her for hours and hours because, I just got to get it out. And so, Judy, when we talk about talking, how essential is talking and communicating is for African-American women?
Extraordinarily important, because something that tragically we don't do many times as African-American women is not simply just talk to each other, but truly listen to what is being said and what is not being said. As African-American women, very often we are taught to be very reactive to situations, to say what we will not tolerate, what we won't do. When in actuality, we need to talk and we need to really get out our feelings and emotions so we can deal with things on a day-to-day basis. Many times as African-American women, these days, we don't connect on a level that we need to. We're very competitive, where we need to be to have a degree of empathy and sympathy for each other and say, I am here for you. I'm here to talk to you or to listen to you. And it is something that is rapidly, with the advances of technology and computers, sadly, among not only African Americans, but all people, turning into a lost art. What I would almost call electronic Asperger's. We're not picking up nonverbal cues anymore, and we're not really talking to each other anymore.
I do feel a sense of sometimes loss or a sense of distance when it comes to the use of social media over, you know, just that one-on-one conversation with a person. And me, I'm a total introvert. I tried to get out of this introversion or whatever you call it, and I still test that I'm an introvert. But social media is my way of communicating because I don't really confront. But there's times when I have needed that other woman there, whether it's in sisterhood or whatever, listening to her wisdom, but not directing her wisdom directly to my situation. And I remember when I was in Louisiana, I was walking on a second floor balcony of a plantation home. And Judy was behind me, and she asked me a question. I will never forget. She said, "So you want security?" And I said, "Yes. I think I'll go for security right now." And she
Oh, I lost you there for just a moment.
Okay. Still here.
Okay. I heard actually when you were saying walking behind you, and then tragically I lost the last bit of what you said.
Verona, are you still there? Judy, this is Felicia. Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you. I seem to have lost Verona.
Yes, I can't hear Verona. I'm going to stay on the line because I know that there's a little technical difficulty. As will happen from time to time, we both know. So we'll just stay here and actually wait till she gets there. Yes, we'll just chit-chat till she gets back in. But you do remember that day when we were all when all three of us were on the balcony. And you and Verona were having the conversation because I enjoyed the interaction between you both. So what did you get from that conversation that day between Verona, yourself, and I? Because I have to be reminded of that conversation for that particular day. But I know you remember it well.
I will admit I was chuckling because one tour guide inserted herself into the conversation.
Yes, I remember that.
Both of you kind of looked like, wait, what?
We all three of us did that. Like, really? Okay. First of all, where did you come from?
But I guess the thing that had me chuckling internally was that as African American women, all three of us had the exact same expression.
It was
a cultural shift when we all turned to the left. I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
And we all shared
that same look.
I know that look in church. When women were that wide that had some questionable marital histories, and you got that, well, hallelujah, God bless you. And then it got out of earshot,
Yeah, that was the look on my face. Okay.
We all kind of went, are you serious?
Thank
you. And I remember the conversation about the comfort in me working at a historic plantation where, you know, slavery had occurred. And for me, I'll be honest with you, it has had its positives and negatives, but the one thing that has stayed with me, and especially recently, like Sunday, I was given a tour for some people on a cruise, and when I brought up the issue of slavery, I noticed some people tensed. I said, but what you have to realize is that everyone, black, white, African, Spanish, French, Irish, contributed to why these places are still here, and to not talk about any one group is a disservice to all of the people that we will never know that are part of this house that gave blood, sweat, tears, time, effort, space in their world. And I saw people of all colors just nodding. And then I segued into talking about the issue of slavery and how it affected these places and the jaws that dropped when I mentioned that there were African Americans who'd owned slaves. They were like, wait, what?
Yes. Yes.
And I said, yeah, there were mm-hmm. African Americans, there were Native Americans that owned slaves. And tragically, I said, even now, there is certain degrees of slavery still. Sex trafficking is a major issue mm-hmm. in this country. You've got people that are trapped in the slavery of poverty, where they don't see an out. And they don't realize that it is difficult, it is tough, but if you don't tear up a classroom and actually learn as much as you can, and even though your home life may be difficult, you stay at that library until it closes, and you read all you can, and you research all you can, and you do all you can. No one can keep you down but you. And this country can be very difficult to minorities, but you got to get out there and hustle and say, I refuse to let someone with a narrow view make my corridor a narrow place to walk.
Amen.
I heard that. I heard that. How do we have those conversations? You know, it seems like the conversation is yet to be had. Do we gather after church service anymore? Do we go to each other's homes anymore when it seems that people are in distress or may be depressed or what have you? It seems as though we've gotten away from actually being bold enough to say, hey, sister, or hey, young one, let me mentor you, or you may be having some difficulty in this area of life. I'm not trying to pry into your business, but I want to help. Where did we lose that?
We actually lost it, I'd say, probably as the civil rights movement was starting to get to a more sedentary stage in the 1970s. And then in the 1980s, mm-hmm. when the film Wall Street reflected the attitudes of America of greed is good, mm-hmm. we got to a point where it got more important of what things I have, what stuff I've got. Also with parents that were becoming progressively younger and more prickly about community parenting, the old saying, mm-hmm. it takes a village to raise a child. When you've got a parent that says, well, you don't tell me what I need to do, where once upon a time, older people would step forward and go, baby, are you sure everything's all right? And you would go to that person because you realize the wisdom and the wit that this person had. They may not have had a college degree, but they had the kind of what we call mother wit and common sense that said, you do this, you don't do that. Or with this baby, you need to do this and that and the other. We got away from that because we developed almost this type of elitism within our community that said, I've been to college, so you have nothing to teach me. Not realizing someone may have an eighth grade education, but if they're 60s, mm-hmm. 70s, and older, and they have lived a life that may have had trials, but they've overcome them, they have a lot to teach. And somewhere we got away from that.
Mhm. Girl, I remember Miss Purnell. I used to call that lady nosy. I was like, God, this lady is so nosy. She doesn't have anything else to do but look at me as I'm coming home from school, and she can clock, you're late, why are you so late? You know, and she's sitting on her porch. She's worried about me. And she would clock in with me every day. Miss Purnell, I couldn't say a cuss word. I couldn't sneak a cigarette. Couldn't do anything because she was right on it, and she would tell my parents. So I would get it from her, and I would get it from my parents.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have anymore.
I remember the days when if you got in trouble at school, you got spanked at school and spanked at home.
Yeah.
And whether you're pro or con corporal punishment, it made us stop and think about the consequences of our actions, where I know coming up and being in Detroit, Michigan as a kid when it was the murder capital And so many young people that got lost to drugs and alcohol and gangs and everything else. And having people in the community where they knew me. Like I said, my dad was a minister, mother was a school teacher. Supposedly that means I'm the worst of both worlds, but thankfully mom's a school teacher, dad's a minister, and I had neighbors that if they didn't see me walking in the door of my home by 4 o'clock, the phone would start to ring, either at my dad's job or my mom's job, or little old ladies that would say, "Baby, you don't want to be fast," because fast was the worst thing you could be. I mean, it was the penultimate of low. And it was an entire community of people who wanted so much for us.
Who would say,
"Oh, that baby in college," or, "Oh, that child working for the post office." Something that said, "You are not my child, but you are from my community. So I am proud of your successes, and I grieve for your failures." And somewhere down the line, with the reality shows and everything else, it became cute to kick people when they're down or denigrate them. And I think we need to get away from that.
I agree. And even within relationships, I remember, you know, growing up in New Orleans, and when my aunts or, you know, my family, female family members, they had difficulty relationships, or someone down the street may have lost their husband, or, you know, their husband or their wife may have left. The community would gather around them, a community of women would gather around
That's
them,
right.
not to ridicule them, not to throw salt in the wound that was already there, but to comfort them and nurture them back to where they had to be. And, you know, there's a song. I think Angela Wimbush sings this song. I can't remember, but they say Mr. Charlie is just a man, and he's doing the best he can.
Yeah.
I remember those lyrics when I was little. Because I remember those lyrics, because I remember women saying that to other women.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it at the time, but I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I know you just burst in at the scene.
Yeah, well, you know, I love listening. So that when I add my 2 cents, you know, it's just even more enriching and empowering. And everything that you all are saying, because you all know that we all have the same background. We all were raised this way. And it saddens me that, as Judy was saying and as you're saying, that we have gotten away from that village concept, that community concept. Because as you all are talking about, you talk about Miss Purnell. Mine was Miss Stella and Mr. Clyde and Miss Anderson and T. Esther. See, you are, all of you in your community, like Judy said, the community raised us, not just mom and dad. And Lord help you, you know, back then, if a teacher had to call your parents about your behavior at school, you wanted Jesus to take you that day.
That's it.
For real. It was like, "Lord, take me now. You know, I've lived a good life. I'm ready to meet you now." You knew what was coming. But then also, too, there was, and Judy has it in spades, that mother wit. That was, as she was saying, back in that time when we were growing up, we had something that I see is missing in this younger generation, and that's called respect.
But it's
kind of hard to teach respect when we have children raising children. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, we have, you know what, how we heard it from the older folks. You can't be a child with a child. And that is so true. And as you said, many of these pearls of wisdom that our elders were telling us, that our parents were telling us, we didn't understand it at that time. But there was something else they told us. Baby, keep living and you're going to learn.
Ooh,
and hindsight is 2020. Because as you get older, I say it all the time, when you're in your 20s, you're young and you're foolish. By the time you're 30, you know what? You start remembering some of these things that your parents and that your elders told you. And then stuff starts making sense. But by the time you are in your 40s, and yes, there may be a few colorful words that will be used tonight, but not in great intensity. That's I'm just going to throw that disclaimer in there. But by the time you are in your 40s, you got good damn sense. Now you're living what they were telling you at that time. So now you have transitioned from that young person. Now you're becoming the elder because you got a generation behind you that now needs that same wisdom, that same wit, that same common sense that was actually passed on to you and is being passed on to you without you even knowing it.
Well, yeah. I think also something that goes through my mind is I'm seeing a lack of common sense now with people in my age range. And I'm a half century old. I'm 50. But I've seen people trying to, they're 50, they try to look 20, they try to act 15. And I'm going, are you serious?
Really?
Are you serious? And you can't, as you get older, you're supposed to develop some wisdom to pass on. Your children should not tell you, honey, that's not what we do. And I've actually seen young people have to tell parents and grandparents, that's not what we do. Mm-hmm. So there's a disconnect there as well. And I think part of it is because of the media reinforces that you're supposed to stay young forever. It's like the old movie, Logan's Run. You have like a crystal in your hand and at 30 it goes black and you're supposed to be dead. And I'm like, no, I'm not injecting a bunch of things. If gravity hits, well, I'm just going to have to look like Jabba the Hutt by 70. Okay.
I think the added stress is on women to look as young as possible, to take on, you know, in some cultures, to take on a little girl or a little boy-girl look, body size and body type, instead of a full woman's body type, and to grow into your age. So let's talk a little bit about that, the pressure. And Judy, I'm glad you mentioned it, the pressure that the media places on women to be young all the time.
Well,
what are the downfalls of that?
I was stunned to read that in Silicon Valley, men are now getting facelifts and butt lifts and everything else to try to look as young as possible so they will not lose their job at these tech firms. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Mm-hmm. We have gotten so obsessed as a culture with looking young that we've lost our compass in terms of that. And in the media, there's such a pressure to look the thinnest that you can, to the point of anorexia, and that's supposed to be beautiful, to lighten, as African-American women, lighten your skin as much as possible, and they will Photoshop it to do it, to look 25 until you're 100. And I look at that and I think, in Rome, before it began to fall, they had gotten very obsessed with youth and their appearance, to the point that the society began to rot from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't read our history, we're in the process of repeating our history.
That's true. And even, you know, I'm thinking about what you talked about, Judy and Felicia, what you comment about a lot on your blog pages, on Facebook, on the fitness page. The thickness of a woman doesn't necessarily mean that she is unhealthy. And just because you are thick doesn't mean that you're not beautiful. You're thick and you're still beautiful. Now, what I'm seeing in the media, and I know probably some women are going to get pissed off when they hear this, is that the glorifying of a woman's butt, all of a sudden it's butt worship. And we've always had big butts.
Thank you.
Nice butts, round butts, plump butts. However, we always had an ass.
The badonky donk.
Even when you got sick and all of that, we always had junk in the trunk. We always was jiggling. We always had all of that. So when did it become, now it's all of a sudden fashionable because a white girl got an ass or a meanie or an Italian girl got an ass.
The fact that a white girl got it. I mean, I look at the movie 10 when Bo Derek had her hair in braids, and suddenly, I'm thinking, I had that braid style in grade school when I was getting ready to go to Easter service on Sunday.
Thank you.
Many things that we tend to take as secondary in many minority communities has been hijacked by the wider majority, and then it becomes acceptable. Then it becomes beautiful. And I'll admit, I am not a small woman. I'm working on my weight because I want to remain healthy, but I've often told people, I'm often like a luxury sedan. I'm wide bodied, low to the ground, look good, move fast, high maintenance, and well upholstered.
I love it.
I love it.
Judy, can I use that?
Not a problem.
I gotta use that one. But if you like what you see, fine. If you don't like what you see,
move over to the right side of the road and let me pass.
Yes, out of the road, pull on the side and let me go around you. Thank you. Or better still, you go around me. Yeah.
I just have to glorify the
almighty butt that we already had, that a lot of times we were criticized for having it. Now
that
becomes
a thing. Now it's popular. Now it's trendy. And let's not forget about the Botox or the collagen treatments for your lips.
My God.
Okay? That's
oh
also quite nice.
And by the way, it has, several actresses have had things go horribly awry with those collagen treatments for their lips. There's people who have died behind Botox injections because the silicone they use is actually construction-grade silicone. I'm like, are you serious?
Right.
When will we look in the mirror and say, it doesn't matter what society says, we're still beautiful.
Right, we're letting someone else dictate and define to us.
Our Women's History Month, as we're celebrating Women's History Month, what are some of the strengths that we bring in as women? I know, the media has really pumped us up and saying, you have to look youthful, you have to be young. And for African American women, that old stereotype of us being flipping at the mouth and head wagging and tongue wagging and telling everybody off and stuff like that. But what are some of the strengths that we bring into those Women History Month?
Jude, you want to take this first?
One of the major strengths that we bring is a sense of empathy. We are historically known as caregivers. We've often relegated it to second stage because, in my job, I've cringed when I've had elderly Southern whites say, "Oh, my God, your mom is the lady who raised us." And I have to bite back, "Well, where's your mom?" But when it's getting harder to keep that verbal filter on when they're going to go flying off and you'll hear about it in the national news.
I know.
But it's a situation where we have been incredible caregivers regardless of very difficult situations. We bring that to the table. We bring to the table that study after study has shown African-American women are the most highly educated in the nation per capita.
We have
a lot of intelligence that is largely untapped. And we bring a strength. Sometimes it's to a detriment because we tend to take care of everyone else other than ourselves. And I'll admit I've been guilty of it as well.
But we
have an amazing strength and beauty and depth that we sometimes take for granted or do not see. because many times when I see problems with, as my kids put it, women who settle for pop, what they call a penis on the premises.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Oh, yeah. You look at the guy and you just go, who ties his shoes? How did, you know, you look at the relationship later and you go, how drunk was I during the duration of this relationship?
And I know.
We will sometimes settle for people who are not in our best interest because it's been reinforced to us that that's the best you can get. Well, I've been told once, I can be miserable by myself or I can be happy by myself. But you have to learn
how
to find joy within yourself.
Remember that security comment on that balcony?
Yes.
That was the security. You go for security. Tell me how that's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And that's what you said. That's what you said to me.
Exactly. I mean, I will admit, I have taken some major risks in the last year. Going into a company, my own company, doing voice work for commercials, doing entertainment on cruise ships, things that people say, oh, that's not stable. Or as I love my people, but I've heard in the black community, well, baby, why don't you work for the post office?
Mm-hmm.
And now the post office is not stable.
Thank you.
Yeah, that leap of faith. Sometimes the bungee cord may snap, but if you can get up, look around and say, well, only one or two broken bones and they'll knit and limp off. Keep going.
Don't settle.
Do not settle. Life is too short to settle, and when you're dying, you think, well, I could have had a V8 on this one.
Yeah. Absolutely. And adding to that with what Judy was saying, some of the greatest strengths that I think that we have as women, and especially as black women or African-American women, is our will to survive, to endure, you know, to overcome.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest strength that we have. I think it's just something that's in us, that we're just born with it, and it's reinforced as we are growing up. But that's one of the greatest strengths that I think that we have as being a woman and being a black woman. And both you and Judy both know I am always pro-woman. I say, you know, there's nothing better than being a woman. Mm-hmm. What saddens me is that there are many of our sisters, and when I say sisters, I'm not just talking about black women. I'm talking about women, period. There are many sisters that do not know the blessing, the honor, the privilege, the power that you hold as a woman. Because, and that sense of what's your self-worth? What is your value? Because if you know that, then you're not going to have pop bebopping down the road, you know, or you're not going to have, you know, Johnny come lately. You're not going to have those type of things in your life because you're able to say, you know what, I know my value.
Right.
I know I am priceless.
And you
so you know Either you come here and step to me correct or you need to step off. You have a good day. Next.
Or as my mother put it perfectly, she said, baby, you shouldn't be McDonald's. There shouldn't be a sign over your bedroom saying millions and millions served.
Oh, that's so
cool. I've met my mother. She knows.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with more from Judy Whitney Davis and also Felicia Williams-Gary on this Women's History Month, celebrating women, celebrating all that is women, but especially focusing on black women and the things that we go through as black women, the things that sometimes we oftentimes put ourselves through, and how can we turn that around and learn to support each other and really learn to engage with each other. So I'm so happy to have them on the show tonight. If you would like to call the show, please get in on it and call us, and they'll answer any question that you have. Trust me, they're not afraid to answer any question or engage in any dialogue. The show's number is 347-857-8255. 347-347-3121. Again, the show's number, Cultural Conversation, is 347-857-3121. And I want to thank you all for listening. My number's looking great on Blog Talk. I'm happy to be back. And just thank you for hanging in there and listening. And this is a wonderful time. So thank you. We're going to have another song from the script. I love them. Maybe I'll travel to Ireland to meet the singer, to engage in the band and to be at a bar when they're singing. Things like that usually happen to me. So enjoy. Conversation with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Again, if you would like to call into the show, please do. The show number is 347-857-3121. Again, Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Call the show at 347-857-3121. 3121. We're going to put Felicia and Judy back online because I have some natural hair questions and journey, especially for Felicia, in regards to natural hair.
I'm getting
at natural hair. Now, you know, Felicia, I've known you for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've known you when you wouldn't even think about natural hair.
That's right.
And isn't that crazy? I mean, we're coming up for Easter, so I can hear my mom's voice in the back of my head, "Ooh, girl, you need to do something with your head."
That's,
you know,
right.
That's just how she said, you need to prep your head or go get a relaxer. Go get a permanent today. Go get a permanent. You need to do something with the naps on your head. That's just how she would say it. Okay.
We all heard
what is going on the natural hair scene?
Well, on the natural hair scene, as you said, yes, we've all, it's a journey. It truly is a journey. Now, for some people, and right now it seems to be a trend, but for me and for so many others who have made the decision to go on this journey, and I've been wearing my hair natural for the past 10 years now. And so for those of us that are on the journey, the choice that we made was because, you know what? Those days of living with the creamy crack, also known as the relaxer. Yes, the relaxer or the texturizer. Living with the hot comb. All of us had a hot comb in our head.
I remember that.
If you're a little black girl, you remember, particularly if you're a little southern black girl, you remember this hot comb around this time because it's coming up to Easter. So you were going to be in that kitchen, and your mama, your grandmother, your great-aunt were going to take that hot comb, and they were going to straighten your hair if you were not going to get a relaxer. So I've done it all. I've done the relaxers. I've done the weaves, and I'm talking about the bad ones. You know, I've done the glue-ons, and I've done the little threaded ones. And, of course, I will always, I don't care, where, you know, even rocking my natural. If I feel like it some days and I want to have that straight look, I'm buying a wig. I am a naturalista, Afronista, Napalicious, Wigalista, proud card-carrying member of it all. And my decision to want to go natural, it was because I had a bad experience. And I know that there are some listeners on the radio right now saying, yes, girl, I understand. Sister, I know what you're talking about. I had a bad experience when I went to a beauty salon, and the beautician there, and I learned that day, just because you have a license does not necessarily mean you know what you're doing. So the person put the relaxer in my hair, and they put the wrong type of relaxer in my hair. Let's just say it had some catastrophic results. My hair looked beautiful walking out of that salon. It really did. But for the weeks to come, I was wondering why we were shedding so much hair. So at that point, it was okay, I'm done. I am so done with the relaxers, not to mention the scalp burns. And you know what I'm talking about, because you always told me, always seemed to be, when you were ready to put a relaxer in your hair, that somehow your scalp started itching, and it would not stop itching. And for those of you that are still wearing the relaxers, and I have nothing against my sisters that say, you know what, I just can't take that journey right now. You know, if that's what you rock, rock on, honey. Okay, but for me, this is a choice that I made. And so you know that when you're
about
I'm sorry, go ahead, Verona. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to get in the media aspect, because a lot of our influence come from the media. We had this incident with Juliana Rancic, who's on the Fashion Police. And, you know, the Fashion Police, they talk about everybody. You know, you can't wear anything, they're going to find something. You know, Joan Rivers, she coined it. And, you know, it's just some messy people just talking about people. You know,
that's my favorite show. It really is.
Yes. And some people, you know, they don't know how to dress, and they need to be called out, but in a more empathetic way. But anyway, Juliana Rancic, you know, she gets in and she talks about Zendaya, her hair.
Yes.
And it talks about this young lady who decided to wear dreadlocks for the Oscars, I think. And she made a negative comment. And usually, you don't get white people making negative comments over, you know, black people hair in public.
Right.
You know, they may say, you know, it's a bunch of pickaninnies and you look at their picky head. In the background, usually we are the ones who criticize each other for wearing our hair natural.
Yes.
Do you think some of the influence of how we treat each other now has spilled over? And this is for you and Julie. Now other people are feeling comfortable with, you know, calling us nappy head and what have you, where before they would never do that, not in public.
I'm not comfortable with it.
Give me your thoughts.
I'm not comfortable with it either. And Judy was taking that. And Judy, you go ahead and make your statement first, and then I'm going to make my statement, because we're probably going to say the same thing.
Okay. I will say this. I have a short gray afro. I started growing my hair naturally last year after surgery and realized, number one, it's a little easier on my hair. I've gone through natural, through weave, through Jerry Curl, through the whole nine yards. And many times, because I have relatively thin hair, the chemicals can do a lot of damage. I have one child who can't even use the chemicals. And I found myself, one, deeply offended for that young lady. And then they said, well, she probably smelled like patchouli. And I thought, you know, I have that as a fragrance oil for my company. I don't see a problem. And it also smelled like me. Actually, I've had somebody ask me to make a marijuana scented candle. It took 3 weeks. So I don't see problems with either of them. Don't mess with it, but
yes,
not my cup of tea.
And that's on my list. Okay.
When I saw the young lady, I thought, well, she's a cute child. And it worked. I mean, girlfriend was rocking it. And I just thought, what a petty little comment from somebody who cannot look in a mirror and see anything worth loving. When you don't like you, it's easy to hate on other people.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was a good
My feelings on it was this. When she first said it, because like I said, I'm a fan of the show. And when I heard her say it, my first reaction was this. No, she didn't. I know she didn't do that. Did I hear correctly? Okay, that was my first reaction. Then my second reaction was this. Juliana, honey, have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you actually checked on the origin of your name and your husband's name? I'm sorry. Juliana Ranstick isn't actually an old Anglo-Saxon name. So where do you get off feeling that you can actually say this about a beautiful, very talented young woman who's a black woman? That's obvious, okay? And yes, as another black woman, I felt offended. I felt insulted. My thing is this, and I'm going to say this, even within our own community, you hit on it. There's a lot of negative outlook at, oh, I would never wear my hair nappy or whatever. Because once upon a time, I used to say those things when I was young and dumb, and I will say that, okay? But as time passed and I had these different experiences, then guess what? I saw the light. You know, I became more understanding, and I gained that wisdom that we've been talking about. My thing is, I don't tolerate it within our own community. I hear it, I say, you know, wait a minute, back up. I will not humiliate. Both of you know, I will not publicly humiliate a person ever. But you both know I also don't have a problem expressing myself. So I don't have a problem taking you to the side and say, you know what, you are out of bounds for that. If I'm not going to be comfortable with it and not tolerate it within my own community, well, for damn sure, I'm not going to tolerate it and be comfortable with it coming from another community. So, you know, I was not okay with that. I think that the choice for the show producers, which is Miss Joan Rivers' daughter, Melissa, and a few others, to dismiss Juliana was a very good move, because I would have personally dismissed her and anybody else, regardless of what your color is. There are just things you say and things that you don't. If you want to say it in the privacy of your home, that's the privacy of your home. But to publicly insult her the way she did, yes, you lied about it.
And I think that's a very a good segue as we round out our show and as we start to close our show. How do we, women and especially African American women, on this Women's History Month, how do we support, honor, and love each other? What is the key to us doing that?
One of the keys, realizing that we're all human beings, and don't judge, because your sin may be different from somebody else's sin, but it's still sin. And stop letting the media and other people tell us how we are supposed to look and carry ourselves. Find some joy in your everyday, not in the stuff you've got, but in the fact you got a family. You have some place to stay. You got people who care about you.
Mm-hmm.
Find that joy. Regardless of who you believe in or what your deity is, find that joy, and you're going to be all right.
Right. And also be sincere and be genuine with people. Compliment people. It's really not that hard. You want to, and you should want to inspire and encourage and motivate a person, because your words are powerful. What you say to someone can be the difference of them choosing to continue on that day or the next day, or to say, you know, I don't want to continue with this at all. So when let the words of your mouth be something kind. Let it be generous. Let it be motivating, encouraging, and inspiring. And if you don't have those type of words, silence is golden. Keep your mouth shut. You don't have to say anything.
Thank you. Both you, Judy, and Felicia have added so much wisdom to the airwaves tonight. I want to thank you for joining Cultural Conversations. And my listening audience, please join me next week as we bring another great show to the airwaves. You've been listening to Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Thank you for joining us tonight.
This is Verona Mitchell, and thank you for joining me on Cultural Conversations. At Cultural Conversations, we're bringing weekly cultural issues and topics to our online studio. Join me next week as we bring more of Cultural Conversations. Thank you for joining me. See you next week.